He wants something. I preached Friday, and a brother came up to me and he says, and I don't even remember his face. He may be in the room. I don't know. And he says, why don't other preachers preach like you do? And I said, my dear brother, I will tell you why. For fear of losing their place. God gives me a place. Tell them the truth or I kill you, preacher. You're a real one. The other ones that won't tell them the truth, in time, this book will open to them at the judgment, not the judgment seat of Christ, but the great white throne judgment. So I said, brother, they're fearful of being removed from their place. So they tell you those things that are nice and easy, whereas I tell you the truth, and that's Paul's pedigree. He says, check me out. I've lived life. Now look what he says in verse 9. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God. See, he's still talking about it even in this book, on the basis of faith. He says, I'll tell you who I am. I'll tell you who I am. He says that he is saying, I don't do anything of my own. What I speak to you about is what God, or what I derive from God. It is a righteousness derived by faith in Christ, not faith in Paul. So I don't want you to think that Paul was stuck on himself. As a matter of fact, I see him here speaking against himself. And that I may know him and the power of his resurrection in verse 10, and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. In other words, Paul says, hurt me. I'll write it, hurt me. And they did. They beat him. They left him for dead many times. They cussed him out. They scourged him. They treated him like a dog. His own homeboys, the Pharisee that he ran with, turned on him and put a contract out on him. And you're going to question his treaties? I know some stupid preachers that question the book of Romans. Well, I think it was written by two people. Well, why don't you say 13 people? You know, get a headache this week. He says, in order that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. I love that. Let me stop right there, because see, we can say a lot about Paul. Here we see a man who, after experience being raised with Christ, wrote for Christ. And isn't that the way it is? After he experienced being raised with Christ in the heavenlies, now he writes for Christ on the earth. Now, how about this in your life? After you have experienced being raised with Christ on a spiritual level, what are you doing for Christ? Let's talk a little bit about the people to whom the book is written. Here, again, confusion comes in. Who was the book written to? You may say, well, it was written to Romans. Who lived in Rome? That's a very important question. There is a reasonable amount of evidence to believe that the gospel was established in Rome during an early date through the presence of some Christians that were just ordinarily doing business in Rome. Now, we know until Paul went to get his head severed from his body, that he had never visited the city, and it was his desire to go through there. And many theologians think that he went through there after he had visited Spain, and it was there that he lost his head. But you've got to ask, how did Christianity get its start in Rome? No, there was no evangelistic effort. Paul did not send a bunch of evangelists to the capital city. They didn't do it that way. They didn't do it the way we do it. They did. As a matter of fact, that's why they got more done. They didn't have these extensive plans and organizations. I recall Paul was on one of his missionary journeys, and he went to sleep one night, and he had a vision of a man from Macedonia. And the only reason that he could tell is because in the vision, God showed him the way the man dressed and maybe his dialect, because Paul could speak the language. And he said, I saw in a vision a man from Macedonia, and the man said in the dream, come on over and help us. And if you know anything about geography, that's the introduction of the gospel into Europe. And so when somebody tells you that the gospel started in Europe, that was not true. It got started after God gave this man that wrote Romans a vision to go over into Europe. It did not derive from Europe. It derived from Northern Africa, where if you just look at a map, you see where the gospel came from. And many of our people, unfortunately, think that we have been isolated from the love of God. Look at the map and then look at that Macedonian call and then make your mind up. And since I quoted earlier in this sermon about St. Augustine, look at his background and then tell me what color he was before you speak. And then you will know that you have not done your homework very well. If you are a minority person and you do not have a good feeling about who you are, pick up this Bible and read it and throw that Quran out. Throw it out. You got truth found in the text. And you are there if you want to be. I would also say something else about this city. It was written during an early time through the presence of Christians doing business in the city. You might say, what? Well, don't you do business? Wherever Christians went, they spread the word. Here's a question. As we start out in Romans, wherever you go, what do you spread? And that's why Paul, wherever you live, what do you spread? What do they see of you? And Paul, when you really look at this marvelous book, speaks about the joy that he anticipated even in coming to visit them. Something else that I'd like to share, it is not likely that there was an evangelistic effort on the part of any group. Most likely, Paul was addressing a Gentile community, although Jewish and Gentile relations were considerable in Rome during that time. And why do I say that? Because as we go through the book of Romans, you're going to see him addressing the Gentile issue. He is not addressing. Now, the only time that he's going to address really the Jewish issue in this book to any degree is when he slams his people for their braggadocious approach to salvation in the face of a growing Gentile community. That's what he does. He says, oh, who made you believing Jews, the bottom line? Did God rest with you? He said, wait a minute. He cut you off and engrafted the Gentiles because you lost your mind. And Paul was a Jew of a Jew. See, that's why when I can talk about black folk or minority, I do it freely, just like Paul spoke about his own brothers. Oh, no. Don't talk about your people. They're black. So as your mother may be, but if she's wrong, what does that have to do with anything? And I say that because you need to get serious. And all this racial division is what is about to destroy our entire country here. This book ain't no racial book. You will see in the book of Romans that Paul slammed his own folk. He said, oh, you talking bad? You walking to church with your Bible? Oh, you got a zeal for God, you hypocrites, but you don't have the right knowledge. Why you think they try to kill him? And then when I talk about my people, it's like, you don't love black people. Yes, I do. I love you. Let me give something else to you. We will be able to see that there was a considerable amount of different groups in the city. Some of you think that Paul wrote this book to the first church in Rome. There was none. There was no big first church. There was no big Baptist, big Methodist, big Presbyterian, big charismatic, nothing like that. Now, what we're going to do for a little while this morning is, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to, if you have a pen, I'm not going to read all the scriptures. I want you to mark these scriptures down. And so when you do your own personal private study, you will be able to see where the church was located. Now, I'll try to do a few here. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. Yeah, just go to Romans chapter 16. Difficult words, and you know I have difficulty with these words, so you forgive me if I mispronounce them. I'm not an English major. I wish that they gave them names like Rudolph and Leroy and John, but they didn't. And so if I stammer, I am not the smartest person in the world. Please forgive me. Where was the church located? Romans chapter 16, verse 1. I commend you to our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is in Cenchrea. Here we have a church that's not in Rome, but Phoebe carried the letter, and she was a woman. She is the female that brought the letter of the book of Romans to Rome. Look at verse 3. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. So we see the church in Prisca and Aquila's house. Look at verse 5. And greet the church that is in their house. Greet whatever his name is, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Okay, there you got it, church. Look at verse 6. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Look at verse 7. Greet whatever his name is, and Jenny is my kinsman and my fellow prisoners who are outstanding among the apostles who were in the church before me. Look at verse 8. Greet him, my beloved in the Lord. Look, I mean, they had some real tongue twisters here. Look at verse 9. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Look at verse 10. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those of his household, of whatever his name is. Look at verse 11. Greet Herderian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus. Is that right? Yes. Who are in the Lord. Look at verse 12. Greet whatever he is and she is, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Look at verse 12. Greet them and them. I've already read that. Look at verse 13. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Look at verse 14. Greet that guy, Hermes, and the brethren with them. Look at verse 15. Greet him and Julia, Nerus and the sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Now, when you look at all these verses, you don't see no one mother church, do you? If he's sending the letter by the hand of this great Christian woman, Phoebe, she's spreading this letter from household to household. Rome was a capital city. You had Christians spread out all over. That's where we get the idea to have churches spread out all over. But this mother church thing, he didn't say, take it to the elder of the church at Rome and have him read this letter to them all. There was no elder at the church at Rome. The church was meeting in house worship cell centers. And Phoebe was just commending and following Paul's orders. Listen, you pass this letter. And you may say, that's weird. Why does it happen in chapter 16 and not in the first one? Because the more important matters are beforehand. And you have to understand the culture. They didn't write the way we wrote now. And so we see that it was a massive Christian community in the capital city of Rome. And you note you do not see denominations here. You don't see denominations. He called these folk my fellow laborers, people that I love, people that have served me, people that are serving the church in Rome. Now, why can't it be like that here in Los Angeles? I'll tell you why, because there's some mess in the church. And if Paul was alive today and had to write a letter, he would probably say, greet Dr. MacArthur in Panorama City. Greet John in South Central, and greet four or five others, and the rest of them, get them to repent. Now that may sound cold-blooded to you, but you go visit some of these places called a church, and then weigh that next to the word of God and see what you come up with. And you may find that he would not even say to greet you. And that's the text of Romans. From these names, one could gather that the Christian community had grown somewhat in number. Household worship was the ordinary call in the first century. And that's why if any of you start home fellowships, that's all right. That's all right. And you see women's names here. Ladies, you are very important in the first century. You are a vital role to God's purpose in the first century. And you yet are. And those of you ladies that came off that mountain with me, you have a slip in your Bible. And you can either be a natural woman, a fleshly woman, or a spiritual woman. If you were natural and in the flesh, Paul wouldn't say to greet you anywhere. He would say to get her head blocked. She's out of her mind this month. I think she's saved, but she needs to be knocked out a few times. So slap her upside the head with this treatise until she comes to her senses. Men, that goes for you too. Goes for you too. Let me say this. A lady asked a question. What were you and Pastor Greg doing when you were not here? Doing what we're supposed to do? Praying and organizing and putting together and thinking about next year? And if not, slap us upside the head with this book. And you check with some of these folk that's come here from other churches what their preachers have done and did with y'all's money. And if you go to a church and you can't go and ask that preacher what he's doing with your money, you are in trouble. Because he would do whatever he wants to do with your money and then come back and say that, Well, the Lord seems to have spoken to me. Didn't have that here in the first century. Interesting insights concerning the book. The term church is the communities met in cell groups. Now, when you go to Ephesians, especially when you go to Acts, I believe it is Acts chapter 27, if my memory serves me correct, Paul said, call the elders of the church at Ephesus together. There seems to have been a plurality of elders in a church that came out of a group that came together.